Rama Rama Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Vajaline Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskadyane Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadada Shiva Shari Gaur Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I have chosen this verse from the prayers of from the chapter 7-9 where Prahlad comes before the Lord and offers prayers. In this particular text you will hear how he offered prayers. I feel this is important for us when we chant and when we offer prayers. So it's something where we can learn to do it properly, no? To pray rightly. It's of interest. What do you do when you go before the deity? How do you offer the most effective prayers? No? Good. Please repeat. Ashtoshit Dharime Kakra Manasa Susamahita Prema Gadgadaya Vacha Tanyasta Ridayekshanaha Asto Shiddharim Ekagra Manasa Suma Susamahita Prema Gat Gadaya Vacha Tanyasta Ridayekshana Oshto Shiddharame Kakra Manasa sa su samahita.
Sa su samahita.
Prema gat gadaya vacha.
Prema gat gadaya vacha.
Tanyasta hridayekshana.
Tanyasta hridayekshana.
Ashta shibnaram ekagra
manasa
susamahita
prema
gat gadaya vacha tanyasta hridayekshanah
Ashtau-siddhara-mekagra
Manasa susamahita
Prema
gat gadaya vacha
Tanyasta
hridayekshanah Ashtau Siddhara Mekagra
Manasa
Susamahita
Prema
Gat Gadaya Vacha
Tanya
Saridayekshana Vaishnavis Asto Siddhara Mekagra Manasa Susamahita Prema Gat Gadaya Vacha Tanyasta Hridayekshana Ashto Siddharam Ekagra Manasa Susamahita Prema Gat Gadaya Vacha Tanyasta Hridayekshana
Astoshit.
He began to offer prayers. Harim unto the personality of Godhead. Ekagra manasa. The mind being completely fixed upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Susamahitaha.
Susamahitaha.
Very attentive.
Very attentive.
Without diversion to any other subject.
Without diversion to any other subject.
Prema gat gadaya.
Prema gat gadaya.
Faltering because of feeling transcendent bliss. Faltering because of feeling transcendent bliss. Vachaha with a voice. Tatnyasta
being fully dedicated to
him. Lord Narsinghadev. Hridaya Ikshanaha.
With heart and sight.
Translation. Maybe we should just bring ourselves to the situation here. Lord Narsinghadev is totally enraged, and he is inside of him. There is a tremendous anger on Hiranyakashipu. He is just dispatched him, but he's still sitting on his throne. How did you like the throne yesterday at the last main darshan?
Yesterday,
majestic.
It was majestic, isn't it? Majestic. I think even the Shah of Persia would not have sat on such a throne. You know, majestic, majestic, like a royal king. You know, gold and red. And how did you think the club was? Massive, no? I think if Lord Nrsimhadev would bring that club down on the Himalaya mountains, they would turn into dust. Such a powerful vision we had. Mm-hmm. So Prahlad is now now before such a throne. It's before this, Hiranyakashipu would sit on that throne, but Nrsimhadev, after having destroyed Hiranyakashipu, took the seat on which the emperor used to sit. Now, normally God doesn't take things which human beings have used, but because Hiranyakashipu in a previous life was one of his attendants in Vaikuntha, and because he was related to his dear devotee Prahlad, Lord Nrsimhadev didn't have any hesitation to sit down on the throne of the emperor. Now, many devatas come and they address the Lord from the distance, but the Lord doesn't become pacified. So finally, Brahma decides something must be done to calm the Lord or pacify him. So he requests Prahlad Maharaj to come, and Prahlad steps forward. He doesn't have any fear. I heard he brought a garland. This is the garland of Lord Nrsimhadev from yesterday. So he brought a garland and garlanded the Lord. The Lord was already garlanded. Who knows of his extraordinary garland? Yes, it was the... it's difficult to say, but it was the innards, the intestines of Hiranyakashipu. You should not think, oh no, this is not even available on horror movies. I mean, this is so brutal or so extreme. Don't think like this, my dear devotees. Anything which comes in contact with the body of the Lord immediately becomes transcendental. Even the ghastly demon Putana, who had taken Krishna, and Krishna had killed her, when she was burned, she didn't smell bad. Have you ever smelled someone who's burned, who has bad intestines, you know, who's a meat eater? It's like, oh, you just faint. Putana's body smelled like the most precious incense, because it had been in touch with the body of the Lord, and therefore it was completely changed. So when we hear of Lord Nrsimhadev with his extraordinary garland, don't become horrified, become pleased. It is really nice. So, good. So now he is praying, and he gives an example for all those who wish to offer prayers to the Lord. I will read this to you. Prahlad Maharaj fixed his mind and his sight upon Lord Nrsimhadev with full attention in complete trance. With a fixed mind, he began to offer prayers in love with a faltering voice. Faltering heißt zitternde Stimme. Ne? So here we find a few attributes. Oh, let me first read Prabhupada's purpose, sorry. The word susamahita means very attentive or fully fixed. The ability to fix the mind in this way is a result of Yoga Siddhi, mystic perfection. As it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhyanavastita tatgatena manasa pashyanti yam yoginaha. One attains yogic perfection when he is freed from all material diversions and his mind is fixed upon the lotus feet of the Lord. This is called samadhi or trance. Prahlad Maharaj attained that stage beyond the senses. Because he was engaged in service, he felt transcendentally situated, and naturally his mind and attention became saturated in transcendence. In that condition, he began to offer his prayers as follows. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So here is the example for us to follow. Lord Nrsimhadev had given this blessing to Prahlad Maharaj, or pronounced, said to Prahlad Maharaj that anyone who follows you attains me. So this is something where we can now be attentive. It's a prayer, or let me say, Prahlad Maharaj prays. Let us find out how exactly he did it. There is an art of prayer, a lost art of prayer. And I believe it is very good for all of us if we learn this, both in offering our prayers from the Shastras, as well as our own personally composed prayers, and also the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is also a prayer. So here are, first of all, he fixed his mind. This is really, really important. When you start to pray, you have to collect your mind from the various subjects where it was engaged. It has to be collected. The mind can be, as Lord Krishna says, bahushaka, or many branched. That means it can go to various subjects. Yes. So when we pray, we have to take the mind away from these subjects and put it now, the Sanskrit word is ekagra, in one pointedness, ekagra manasa, upon the lotus feet of the Lord to whom we pray. It's really an activity which some of us do before they start their japa. They just take the mind and they focus it. And then he also fixed his sight, his eyes on the Lord. He fixed his mind and his eyes on the Lord. He looked at him. This is also very good when you chant, my dear devotees. It's good to chant with your mind collected and then to chant before a deity. Deities which are recommended to chant before, Prabhupada mentions Satpuja, the six-armed form of the Lord, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, and Lord Ramachandra in one. No, then you have the complete manifestation of Godhead. All the deities. I remember a tape which I have heard many years ago. It never was published in the official tape ministry, but I sent it once there, but somehow it didn't land there. It's a tape where Prabhupada speaks to devotees who experience difficulties in their Krishna consciousness. And he says to them, there is a solution. You should now go before the deity and chant. You should look at the deity and chant his holy name. And I remember the devotee said, this won't work, Prabhupada, because the temple commander will come and chase us away and engage us in various services. And Prabhupada said, no, you can tell him, I told you. You should sit before the deities, look at the deities and chant. Because this looking immediately will focus your mind. No, this is a yoga science which Lord Krishna explains in the sixth chapter. You look with your mind, the yogi will look with his mind to the trikuti, that's the point between the eyebrow. But we as devotees don't, you know, what is the point between the eyebrow? We are doing it devotionally by looking at the deity, and as we do it, our sight, you know, sight starts in the head, becomes automatically projected in the frontal area of the brain. I don't want to go into so much detail. Here it becomes here, and there, when you are there with your attention, you are very fixed. You are not very much diluted. Therefore, usually it is said when we do japa, we usually sit and not walk, only when we are tired. Because once you walk, you have to look where you walk, to not bump into something, and then your sight is engaged and your mind is also not fixed. The mantra often becomes a background sound. So Prahlad fixed his mind and his sight upon Lord Nrisimhadev with full attention. He was very attentive. Susamahita. Prabhupada explains this means very attentive or fully fixed. No? One attains perfection when he is freed from all material diversions. And his mind is fixed upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Yeah. It's called samadhi or trance. So then with a fixed mind, he began to offer prayers. How did he offer prayers, my dear devotees? It was in love with a faltering voice. To explain it differently, with sambhava, some Krishna conscious mood and attention. It was not mechanic prayers. It was, oh Lord Nrisimhadev, did he say, yasmin yato ja yena, faltering. Chayasya yasmat, faltering. I can't imitate it really, but I want to give you an idea. His voice was really reflected the love, the bhava, in his heart. And if you want to take notes on this, I see many of you don't have anything to take notes with them. It's all explained here in the 7th canto, chapter 9, text 8. It's a really very complete explanation how a devotee can offer prayers and be really there and not be absent-minded. Fine. Well, this is the text. I wanted to also speak a little bit about prayers, the Nisinga prayer. One moment. It's not so. Yes. Srila Prabhupada, there is a beautiful verse, let's start here in the Bhagavatam. Raising Prahlad, you know, when the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness, in all of his devotees. So we find here the Lord is always ready to grant with his raised hand fearlessness to devotees. In the material world, Prabhupada, he just mentions this, everyone is fearful, is in fearful consciousness. See, we may not always experience that we are concretely afraid of something. At this moment, you may not think, oh, I'm afraid of catching a disease. You may not have that fear, or you may not have a fear, oh, I'm not afraid I will have to drive to somewhere and I might make an accident. Or you are maybe not afraid that your marriage will end in divorce. You don't always have some, let me say, very concrete object of fear. But this doesn't take away from the point, because one side product of fear, which we all experience, is a certain type of insecurity in our life. Do we fit really? And so on. This world is described to be Kuntaloka, the area of fear. And just like you get wet when you fall into an ocean, you get fearful when you fall into the world. It is unavoidable to contact fear or its various byproducts. So, therefore, Lord Nrisimhadev is the shelter of all devotees. It said, when Lord Nrisimhadev appeared, all the devotees became fearless. The devotee's hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Lord Nrisimhadev. And Prabhupada now puts this line here, Yato yato yami tato Nrisimha. Everyone? Yato yato yami tato Nrisimha. Wherever we go, no? Yato yato yami. Wherever we go, there is Lord Nrisimha. No? He's everywhere. He's all pervading. Like we say this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate.
Om Namo Bhagavate.
Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya.
This means we worship Krishna, who is Vasudev. Vasudev means all-pervading, present everywhere. I remember the first time I came to the temple, I asked the devotees, what is your concept of God? And the devotee said, well, it's the one who's present everywhere. And I said, everywhere? Yes, and every molecule and atom. And then the devotee excused himself. He had a deadline for producing a magazine, Back to Godhead in German language, and he left me on the sofa. And I remember I looked next to the shrunk. How do we say in English shrunk?
Almira.
Yes, it was a Almira where they had, you know, official documents. It was one of these things which could be locked, and it was metal, it was dark. And I thought, wow, God, their understanding of God is that he's also in this Almira, but not just inside, locked up. He's in every atom of this Almira. I thought, wow, that is fantastic, excellent. He is present everywhere. There is a little story. There was once a sadhu. He was walking, and as he walked the whole day, he became tired, and he took a rest under the shade of a tree. So a little later, he had just laid down, and he just was dozing off to go into sleep. A man came and just totally got on his case. What are you doing? The sadhu said, sorry, I'm very tired. What am I doing? Is there something wrong? Yes, your feet point at the mosque. It is a mosque. Just there, your feet. This is very disrespectful. I think we can understand the sentiments of this person. If someone would, during the darshan of the Lord, stretch out his feet towards the Lord, we would politely remind him, please, this is the Lord, stretch your feet somewhere else, would you? In the same way, this man, let us appreciate his religious sensitivity. He said, what are you doing? Your feet are pointing towards the mosque. So the sadhu was a little tired. He was just dozing off, you know, that state where you, before you enter into deep sleep. And he said, please help me. Just take my feet and point them in a direction where there is no God. The man took the feet and he wanted to left, right, but the sun, yes, he made a point. The Lord is everywhere. No? Still out of etiquette, when we sit before the deity, we don't. Please don't say, when you point your feet towards the deity and someone corrects you, Sachinandan Swami gave a lecture, the Lord is everywhere. You can, no, before the deity, out of respect and etiquette. No, but this was a long distance, and there was a building and so on. No? It's a different scenario. So this is the idea here. We also say, please say with me, the same mantra with Narasimhaya. Let's do a good chanting. Oh, this is too high for you. Very good. So, this Prabhupada, he speaks about this. The devotee's hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Narsingadev. Yato, yato, yami. Tato Nishingha. Wherever we go, we must always think of Lord Nrisimhadev. The mantra says actually, wherever you go, Tato, there is Nrisimha. Thus, there will be no fear for the devotee of the Lord. So this is how to become fearless, to chant this mantra, but we should try to do it with these items which Prahlad Maharaj offers to us. Let us just see if we can get it together. Where was it? Seven, nine, seven. I thank you very much. Just here, yes. So, what were the items? Ekagra manasa means mind completely fixed on the lotus feet. Then, susamahita, very attentive. Prema gat gadaya, faltering because of feeling prema, or transcendental bliss of love. And then Tatnyasta is also there, last line, yes. Being fully dedicated to him, you know, devotion. And then Hridaya Ikshanaha, heart and sight. Oh, I will definitely take note of this shloka, because I give seminars, and I have given seminars called The Art of Prayer, and this is really, everything is in there. To be simple, because we are not able to hold maybe so many points, it's just try to focus on the Lord while you chant your mantra, and do it with devotion, and in this way you will be able to be fixed. So, and when you are chanting like this, yato yato yami tato nishingha, and while you do this, focus your mind on Lord Nrisimhadev, who is present everywhere, then you have good hope to become free from all your fears or anxieties in life, or insecurities. It's a medicine, it's a method which works really very, very nice. I want to just, in the end of this lecture, we are almost there, then I will see if you have any questions. Want to bring this subject to the chanting of the holy name. There is a beautiful Purana which is quoted a lot in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's the Adi Purana. This was spoken directly by Krishna, this Purana, to his dear devotee Arjuna. And in this Purana, the Lord says how to do kirtan. He speaks about many, many, many subjects. And one is how to sing his names. Would you like to know this?
Yes.
Go Mohan, you did such a nice kirtan yesterday after the day, darshan. You even rolled on the floor. That is, by the way, authorized. It's called. It's really authorized. There is a, would you want to know the science of rolling on the floor? Yeah, you're laughing. No, it's not interesting, or it's too wild for you. Where is the science? Shlokas about how to roll. Maybe because I see you're not really enthusiastic to learn this. I will tell it to Gomohan personally. So let's first go to Kirtan. We might feel more safe in Kirtan. Those persons, Krishna says, who sing my name and dance directly before me, truly purchase me. I become purchased. I declare to you, this is the truth, nothing but the truth what I say now. Those who sing my names and cry tears, they have purchased me, Janardana. Totally. Except for these devotees, no one can purchase me. I think you have heard the only price for Krishna is what? Loryam, yes, eagerness. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. Devotional service of bhakti, Krishna bhakti, cannot be had even by pious activities which you perform for hundreds and thousands of lives. You can be a person who is doing everything correct for thousands of lives. Krishna bhakti, you will not get by this. It can be attained only by paying one price. Tatra lolyam apimulyam ekalam. That is intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, run. You must purchase it without delay. I think that's the reason why some of us wanted to absolutely be present during Narsingadev's appearance online or in their thoughts or somehow, and see Lord Narsingadev. So this is a very, very good process. You must sing with this eagerness. It must be important to you. One should be enthusiastic, that this is a chance.
Wow, there's an intense discussion going on the altar.
Wow, no, they are sacred pujari. Very good. So this is something on the art of prayer which filters into the chanting of the holy name. There's a very, very nice story I would like to end with about this really eagerness in chanting. In the old times, there was a temple established on the top of Govardhan Mountain, a temple to Srinathji. You can see that temple still, and Vallabha, that is the followers of Vallabhacharya, go even up to the temple. But the original deity of Nathji, who was found by Madhavendra Puri, is now in another town, Nathadwar. The reason was that there was constant threat of the invaders of India, who used to destroy temples, and there was not enough protection. But before the deity was moving, the problem was already there, and they put always for the night a lensman, a person who was trained in the art of lens fighting. That is a deadly weapon when you know how to use it. It's not just used for throwing, it's also in direct combat, close combat. A lens is a formidable weapon. It's really... there was a man with a lance standing at the entry of the temple. He was a great devotee. His name was Rup, Puriya, last name. And to keep himself awake in the night, he would sing songs to the Lord, but he had a terrible voice. Terrible! It sounded like the crowing of crows. So once, Govinda Swami, who is the exact opposite in voice, he had a good voice, very good voice. He gave a concert in the temple for the pleasure of the deity. Govinda Swami was really very, very elevated in his Krishna consciousness. He would, for instance, sing songs in kirtan, and one time he stopped singing, and another devotee asked him, "Why did you stop?" And he said, "Well, I was singing about Krishna's holy pastimes, how he throws colors on the beautiful gopis, but then disappears. And Krishna had just, I was singing and seeing this beautiful scene before my eyes, but then he disappeared and he was no longer there. So I have stopped singing." Very advanced, elevated kirtaniya. No? So Govinda Swami was just, had given a singing concert for the deity, and he just moved out of the temple. The sun was already down, and he sees Rup Puriya with his lens standing there and singing something. "Hey, Govinda," like a crow. "Hey, Gopa," you know, and he thinks like, "My God, is this terrible. After I've just given a concert according to Raga and Tala and everything, Saptike. Now the Lord has to hear this villager, this landsman," and he said, "Don't sing like this. You're disturbing." And he went. So the whole night, Rup thought, "The great Govinda Swami, he has ordered me to stop singing. I won't sing anymore." But he cried. He wanted to sing. You know. In the morning, the pujari came to Nachi. And he noticed the deity had red eyes. He said, "Well, you know, these are all elevated souls. My Lord, you have such red eyes? What happened to you? How did your eyes become so red?" "I couldn't sleep." You stayed awake the whole night?" "Yes, I couldn't sleep because Rup, my dear Rup, was not singing. I only fall asleep when I hear his sound, his singing, his kirtan. Govinda Swami had forbidden him because of some technical voice situation." So the pujari narrated this. He said, "The Lord couldn't sleep because he likes the bhava." The bhava means devotional mood, the Krishna consciousness of his devotees. That he will not miss. For him, this might be more pleasing than a technically perfect concert. I'm not saying that Govinda did not sing with Baba. He was an exalted soul. But the lance bearer, simple man, could do kirtan, and the Lord liked it and he wanted to hear him in the night to sleep. He was restless and couldn't sleep without that voice. So this shows you how in our Bhakti tradition, this bhava or devotional mood, which Prahlad Maharaj is also, it's talked about in relationship to him in the Bhagavatam, is very, very important. So we will have soon an opportunity to do what we have learned, because there will be darshan and we will pray. How will we pray? Absent-minded, like always, or thinking, I'm so hungry. Okay, I pray a little bit. I'm from London. Have to do everything, but my mind is somewhere else. No. We are not just following by the form. We will chant, we will focus our mind and then our eyes on the Lord. Then we will avoid distracting thoughts. They might come, but we will not entertain them. And then we will chant with some devotion. Whatever we have, we will express that to the Lord. Good. Fine. Then let us ask the question. What is the situation with the darshan? Should we stop here? Should we ask if there are any questions amongst the devotees? Okay, so there is still a little time. I would be very happy if you have some questions to ask. I see two devotees here. Mm-hmm.
We have also online questions.
Online questions are also there. Good. Yeah, bitte, dann. Wer immer? Yes, please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the nice lecture. We had a topic that the most important thing, we need to become Krishna consciousness, egoness. The question that arose in my mind was, how can we develop this egoness? Because sometimes we have a lack of motivation. Sometimes we chant and ask ourselves, why am I chanting?
Yeah.
How can we develop this?
By hearing a lot about Krishna. You develop eagerness for someone or something what is not known to you by first hearing a lot about this. For instance, I had not visited Vrindavan. I was a young in Krishna consciousness, but I heard from devotees who had been in Vrindavan about Vrindavan. I heard about the beautiful temple worship. I had heard about the monkeys of Vrindavan. I had heard about many, many, many such things. And then I thought, I must go, So by this principle, to first hear about something which is not yet known to you, holds also true in relationship to Krishna. By hearing a lot about Krishna, you will develop eagerness or ruchi. That's the way. So maybe you see that you have an opportunity to either hear lectures or read. Read is also an item of hearing. And then you will see, you become highly motivated. I must get Krishna. I must become Krishna conscious. That's also, in chanting japa. Sometimes we are not so enthusiastic in japa. If we want to increase our enthusiasm about chanting japa, we must hear the Bhagavatam about Krishna. Then our enthusiasm comes. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, chanting the name of Hari must be always associated with hearing about him. He said, just like Radha is always there with Krishna, Krishna Katha must be always there with chanting Krishna Nam. Always there. Without it, it's not complete. Always. Lot of Bhagavatam. Lot of hearing about Krishna. Then your eagerness increases. Thank you. Yes. We maybe take an online course in between. Question. Yeah, was ist die online?
The online question is, today is the 438th appearance day of Sri Radharaman Lal, self-manifested deity on the Purnima day of the last month of Vaishak, by his beloved devotee Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Sri Radharaman appearance day, the most gorgeous manifestation of Lord Krishna in his form as a deity, is the combination of three most prominent deities, namely Madan Mohan, Govinda Ji, and Gopinath. This is the very beautiful story.
Wonderful. Thank you. Yes, it is very good that you informed us. Today is the appearance day of this very dear devotee, dear deity to all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. It happened that Gopal Bhatta Goswami, the worshipper, received on the Shingha Chaturdasi a beautiful cloth. He worshipped Shilas and he prayed to the Shilas, can you not take a form, because I have this beautiful cloth and I want to sew it so that I can decorate you very nicely. And then, yes, these Shilas, he prayed like this on the night of Nrisimha Chaturdasi. And the next morning, when he came to the place where he kept the Shilas, he saw they had turned into this most beautiful form with arms and mouth and everything of Radharaman. He kept the Shilas, if you want to know, in a little basket which he hung on the tree. He was so poor, there was no temple. So after he had said this prayer in the evening, that, my Lord, you appeared from a stone pillar, so you can take on a form from anything, also from the Shilas. Please appear. He had some eagerness. And then he put the Shilas, you know, to rest in the basket, which he put up high so that no animal which walked on the you know, like dogs or cats or rats or so could make the deities, his Shilas dirty. So he put this in a basket on the branch of a tree, and the next morning when he wanted to do his puja and took them down, in that same basket was Radharaman. Hare Krishna. So thank you for reminding us that, yes, that is very closely related to Nrisimha Chaturdasi. Should be. Go to the next question. Our devotee has a question there. Yeah, Hare Krishna. Yeah, wonderful question. Where is reading the same from hearing, and where is it different? It's the same in regards of new information comes to you, either by hearing or by reading. So information comes. That happens when you read and when you hear. However, when you hear, it goes a different road, so to say, through the ears, the eardrums, and that is a different thing, you know, than from the eyes. And it is said of the two, hearing is more powerful. Therefore, in my time, Prabhupada had said something which we did. When we read out loud, so that we could, that it could go this road, this ear channel, and then I don't know where it goes from. That some nerves it goes, and yeah. But of the two, hearing is more important, and the reason which is given in the scriptures is, when a person is asleep, hearing is more powerful than holding a text before his eyes. Now read, he won't be able to read. But if he hears. So in some sense, we are asleep in the material existence. No, we may be awake, but we are still sleeping in terms of our fully awakened Krishna consciousness, not yet 100% there. So the chance to be awakened is by hearing, especially God Kirtan. Kirtan is most powerful, more powerful than japa. But you need, as we have heard here, fix your mind, no? Well, and chant with devotion, not just to have a gaudi. Hare Krishna. Good. Next question. Online question. Good.
Hare Krishna. Question from Delhi.
From Delhi?
Yes.
You know New Delhi?
New Delhi, yes.
Acha.
In a devotee community, when we see a lot of divorces and fights, we feel very insecure to enter Grihastha Ashram. How to deal with this simultaneously, being eager in Krishna consciousness, the aspiring servant Diksha?
When we see in the devotee community marriages which don't work, there's fighting and so on, then how do we feel encouraged to in Krishna consciousness? Yeah. I mean, some amount of quarrel must, I think, is normal. Some, but if it gets into the, you know, the nasty quarrels, then yes, it's Vaishnava aparad. There is bound to be differences of opinion when you live so close. That you can see even in the brahmachari ashram, they live very close, and someone snores, and oh, Snorananda, please move out of the, no, I'm so warm here, so good here. No, Snorananda, this is too much snoring. You know, some difficulties, some opinions is all right, but if it gets into what we call aparada, that is hurting someone consciously, then that's not good. So, but you will find quarrels everywhere. It's not a matter of the Grihastha Ashram alone. You will immature people quarrel. There's in the fourth canto, it is Shiva is glorified as someone who only sees the good in someone else. And then in the purport, his spiritual vision, to see the good and fan the good in someone else, no, is contrasted with the vision of a material, the material vision. And the material vision is to only see the bad. Even if, you know, there are good qualities there, the material vision is one focuses on the bad qualities. The spiritual vision is there are also bad qualities there, but there is a good quality. One focuses on the good quality and tries to fan it, that it becomes better, encourages someone on the subject they did well. It's amazing. Lord Shiva's vision is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti to only see the good, even in an overwhelming amount of bad qualities. He gives the example of there is someone who has a cloth and a thief who is armed, hat die Waffe, steals the cloth. So how does a person who sees only the good and not the bad, that is something which it's the vision of Lord Shiva, you know, that's very, very high. He sees, oh, this person must have felt some coldness, therefore he was stealing my cloth. But he didn't use his weapon. He is very merciful to me. He has very good qualities of non-violence. Just for us, we can only laugh about it because it's really beyond us. No? But at least this is a vision where one doesn't even see the bad things. One doesn't see it. It's not there. We see the bad and we see the good, but let us focus on the good and encourage whatever is good to grow. There is so much bad things there, then, but also a good quality, then he needs to be corrected. Prabhuji, something, see, you're doing this, and this is the result, and maybe, please, you do something else, you know, do it better. You have a good quality, you're a devotee, you know, you please, more devotional life, not so much this bad thing. You can encourage like this. What I want to say when there is quarrel, there is something which I feel is legitimate. It's not even quarrel, it's discussing disagreements, you know, needs to be discussed, and that is there. But if it gets really offensive, then it's not so good. But you will find that everywhere where there are immature people. It's not just in the Grihastha ashram. It's anywhere people quarrel who are not mature. Anyone else? Sam, huh?
Salim.
Wie bitte?
Salim?
Salim?
Yes. So, thank you for the lecture, Christoph. A very similar question than you, my problem. I don't know if it's exactly the same. I wanted to ask, how do we cultivate more positive inner feelings towards Krishna and also especially his service?
Yes, very good. How do we cultivate more positive feelings towards Krishna and his service? I will give you another answer, but I want to repeat my first answer to this. I'm sorry, this is another devotee who asked, you can develop more attraction to Krishna by hearing about him or reading about him. But let us ask the question, sometimes reading is boring for us, if we are really honest. Or we are too restless, we just can't bring our mind to reading. Reading, oh reading, Prabhupada. Ah, with this mind I can't read, you know, now. When this is the case, the Bhagavatam says, do service to a good Vaishnava. By serving good Vaishnavas, you get a ruchi, a taste, to hear the messages of Lord Vasudeva. There is a magical thing about this. I will have to confess to you, when I used to go, when I was a young bhakta, when I used to go to these crowded festivals, you know, where, especially I remember the Mayapur festival, where there were well above 1,000 devotees, and at that time our project was not so large, there were not so many buildings. I remember I had to sleep on the corridor, you know. When I visited to the Mayapur festival, I was just so, sleep was not very good. Hygienic facilities were simple. And although there were lectures from morning till evening, I could not really enter the lectures. And I asked a devotee if he had any tip. And he said, yes, if you cannot focus on hearing about Krishna, which is so important to get some taste for Krishna, no, then you should serve devotees. And I remember I would always serve breakfast and lunch prasadam to the devotees. You know, we had buckets and we went with buckets and put the various preparations on leaf plates. And it was hard work, you know, devotees always wanted to have this preparation more than that. And I used to do that, and after some time it changed. I felt great interest in Krishna and motivation. So service to devotees, very important. This gives you Hare Krishna. So, yes, Vaidyanath?
I have one question about Lord Nishinadu.
Microphone is just now coming. Oh, Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Now, one question about Lord Nishinadev. See, when I hear these stories, how Lord Nishinadev is smashing the demons, and also is smashing the demon inside me, I kind of feel sorry for the poor demons. What will become of them? So, because there are situations where there is malicious traits and aggressive situations and really evil personalities or even very evil tendencies within us. But on the other hand, we are taught in Krishna consciousness that our desires have to be transformed. Our desires for material things will have to be transformed to love of Krishna. So does Lord Nishinadev transform our desires, or is he specialist on smashing evil tendencies?
This is a very nice question also. Well, there is this prayer where we say, kindly kill my demoniac desires for fruitive activities in this material world, you know. Om Namo, this is there. But He will not enter your heart and there will be blood all over the place, all over your apartment. Natürlich nicht. But what I want to say is, I can only, because this is a very deep question, so I can only answer it in terms of my own realization. The way the Lord takes care of the desires of the devotees is a soft way, a gradual way. He may sometimes give them, this is a verse in the fifth canto, he gives them, he fulfills their desires, no? But in such a way that they will become free from desirelessness, you know, that the quality of desiring means again and again and again. When you, in other words, yes, he may fulfill your desire at first, but because you are worshipping him, you put Krishna in your heart, and after some time you think, oh, these desires are no longer relevant. Why do I desire? I can well do without these desires. So in this way he has done a very soft process of taking your desires and transforming them into desires for Krishna. The main thing is akama sava karma va. If you have desires, or you are absolutely free from desires, but even if you're full with desires, approach Krishna, and by his contact, you are purified. Just like anything gets purified. We talked today about the body of Putana, who smelled very pure after it was touched with by Lord Krishna. So whatever has the touch of Krishna gets purified gradually. There are now two ways of dealing with desires for the Lord. Two ways, not one way. The way which I have expressed, it is based on the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, where one says, where it says, one worships the Lord, and then the Lord may fulfill these desires, but in the end, the devotee only wants his lotus feet. This is called transformed desires. No? But there is another way, which is discussed in the 11th canto, that Krishna takes everything away from a devotee. That's the hard way. That's the hard way. So if you are afraid of the hard way, you can pray for the soft way. No. There are two ways. So Krishna likes to hear what we want. No? I'm serious, you know, that yes, for some of us, desires are, we know they are not good. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaks about such desires by giving an analogy. It's like a drunkard who drinks and he knows, I'm killing my liver. My friend died from this drinking. And I'm also drinking like that. Irresponsible drinker I am. But I can't help myself. I can't help myself. And I curse myself. For this, I curse means, oh no, why do you do this? If you continue to hear about Krishna and continue your Krishna consciousness, although you feel I'm here in a compromised position, I know this is not good, but I'm doing it secretly. Although this is there, no problem. I mean, yes, you already kill yourself with all your thoughts, you know. That is a problem. It is a problem. But keep on with Krishna, and slowly he gets purifies your heart. just sincerely pray to Lord Krishna. I'm I want to be your devotee. Please help me by transforming my desires so that only Krishna-related desires are there and no other desires. And if you can pray sincerely, and it might take some time before you can actually sincerely pray, it will go. If you can't pray sincerely, I mean, Krishna will hear you. He knows. And still, if you engage in Krishna consciousness, that will go. Krishna describes this, my dear devotees. He says, Apichet Sudaracharo. My devotee might do even the most abominable thing. This is not eating too much. This eating too much is yesterday, no? This is not abominable. Abominable. No, it's not abominable. It's not. But Krishna speaks of these things which are really not good. If he engages in my service, he should be considered saintly, and soon he will be righteous. That's his vision. So he is a kind Lord. And think of Prahlad Maharaj. I was thinking about this yesterday. Did you know all the other avatars appear for many people? They have a mission. Nrisimhadev appeared for one person, Prahlad. He wanted to save Prahlad. Of course, he gave an example for his devotees, but I'm speaking of his appearance, you know. How long did he appear? All the avatars have a long term, they stay a long time on this planet. Nrisimhadev stayed for 48 minutes. Bas. Finished. Just to save one devotee. What do you call this? Cruelty or love? He could, taking care of Hiranyakashipu, kein problem, just throw the Himalayan mountains on the steam and then finished, you know. Kein problem. He doesn't have to appear for that. He can make an arrangement. But for his devotee, who wanted only him and who was only interested in him, he appeared. Is this a Lord whom we have to fear? No, it's a Lord whom we can love, because he's putting love. I think the perception of Nrisimhadev, which some of us have, including myself, which I had, is coming from an old time where we could not yet go so deep into the philosophy, because there were not books and we were very young. We were just one year, 2 years, 3 years. And Lord Nrisimhadev in the old time was seen as, the more blood the better. We divided the devotees in two sections in our yatra, the Nrisimha Bhaktas. These were the heavy ones who put heavy boots on. You know, you could see them, you know, they had they had muscles, tattoos, the Nrisimha Bhakta. And then the Govinda Bhaktas, these were the softies. You should cry, not laugh, because of the amount of immaturity which we had. it is so. Nrisimhadev is a lovable Lord. We should not think of him as a little. You know, the puja, the mantras are Nrisimham Vijanam Bhatam. What a lovable. We don't have to fear Lord Nrisimhadev. Therefore, Sridhar Swami, the famous commentator on the Bhagavatam, he says, he is like a lion who's very, very sweet, as they would say in Bengal, very sweet for the young lion cubs. You know, very. You can watch on. I have watched a lion, some short lion movie, just about because before I came here, because it says, when he's angry, he's like on a demon. He's like an angry lion, and I wanted to see what, and it said the lion can kill even an elephant, and I wanted to see that, and when the lion is angry, oof, it's really you know. But then when you see the lion with the young, they crawl all over him, you know. They bite him in the mouth, the young baby lions, no problem. He will not destroy. He is very kind to the lion. He wants to sleep, and the baby lions come and, you know, give him. You know, want to sleep? The lion babies want to play, you know, and then finally he gets up and plays with the lions. He's very, very kind to and devotees who are fighting with material desires inside. Devotees, they're good devotees. There's no problem. He's not going to do anything which gives them problem. So, where are we? We are coming to the end, no? Good. I'm not saying because I don't like. We want to see Lord Nrsimhadev. He is also there. So, what will we do, Gomohan?
We can all arrange so that you can take darshan.